we'll never know how many ships have, you know, met the bottom of the ocean as a result of a rogue wave, one of these freak giant rogue waves in the ocean.
Right, but there, you know, every so often there's a ship that gets more inquiry than others. In 1985, I think it was, they lost a very big ship. It was the largest ship ever insured by Lloyd's of London, and the largest ship ever lost at sea, the largest British ship ever lost at sea, called the Derbyshire. And because it was a British ship, British crew, you know, it wasn't a Liberian ship with, you know, it wasn't a ship from the third world that you didn't have, you know, this was a new ship. And
it's state of the art.
Totally state of the art and very big, you know, 850 feet. And it went down without even time for an SOS call in the in a typhoon off the coast of Japan, just vanished. And because it was a British ship, I think all the families of the crews were able to force several inquiries. And in the end, something happened that almost never happens. They found out exactly what happened to this ship. They sent submersibles down to the bottom, and they found, you know, the ship lying in two pieces about a mile and a half apart. And it was clear that it happened very quickly. Waves over 80 feet tall had come onto the deck. They breached the hatches in the deck, and then water got into the cargo compartment and literally snapped the ship in half like a pencil. And, you know, one scientist said to me, when that happens, it only takes minutes for it to go down. And this thing had gone down so quickly and so decisively, and they got to see the proof of that.
Well, that's the prevailing theory of the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, but just not with that giant wave. But that once those hatches are breached, you know, it just takes on water so fast, and it can't stand up. We're talking with Susan Casey, The Wave, In Pursuit of the Rogues, Freaks, and Giants of the Ocean, just out. We have then in your book examples of these giant ships that have made it and ones that haven't. The Munken was an interesting story because, again, it comes at a time before meteorologists, before climatologists, before people who had measured, oceanographers had measured these waves. And so it didn't, you know, when a giant ship like that just disappears, no wonder they're going to send out, what was it, the largest human crew ever to look for a ship on the ocean or something?
Yeah, it was very, very huge, the biggest search effort to date. And it was like something like 113 ships looked for this boat. And it like the Derbyshire that I mentioned before, it disappeared without even so much as an emergency radio call, which just makes you wonder, you know, what happened. But the thing with the Munchen that was so interesting was that they found a piece of lifeboat, and it had a piece of metal on it. It was attached to the deck, and it had been twisted and sheared off, and it was stored at 65 feet above the water. So they knew that whatever did this was at least 65 feet tall. And they found this piece of lifeboat floating, and that was all they found. And so the verdict when they did their, you know, forensic sort of scientific examination was that, and I love this quote, something extraordinary had destroyed the ship. And I mean, aside from a wave, I don't know what that would be, but this notion of something so incredibly, inexorably powerful.
Violent.
And
just ripped it. Just like
it mangled this thing.
Yep. But you see, now that, when you said right there, and this is one of those numbers, and you said 65 feet. So this lifeboat that they found, if you'd looked at the ship in still waters, it would have been stowed 65 feet above the ocean line, right?
Right.
Is that the
–
okay.
Yeah.
So roughly like a 6.5-story building above the water line. And I look at that and I think, well, what about these giant cruise ships that are like, you know, these hotels that are 50 stories above the – I mean, these – they look so top-heavy. And they look barely like they were just about to turn turtle just while they're pulling out of the port. How are any of these going to be able to survive one of these freak waves?
Well, they get hit by them, you know, at sort of disturbingly regular intervals. I mean, the QE2 was hit by a 100-foot rogue wave in 1995, and it blew out all the bridge windows, and it, you know, it hit a, it also hit a trough. And one of the things that a really big wave that is much bigger than the waves around it has is a very profound hole in the bottom. They used to call it the hole in the bottom of the ocean, and nobody, of course, believed it. But so much water gets sucked up the face of these really, really big waves that this, you know, that there's actually sort of a a gully at the foot of the QE2. The captain said when he saw the wave on the horizon, it looked like the white cliffs of Dover. Like he was looking at it like, is that land?
Right.
And when he hit it, you know, the ship went down to this trough and blew out all the windows and did a lot of damage to the ship. But they were very lucky. They survived. And I wrote in the book about other instances of cruise ships getting hit. And, in fact, Lloyd's of London is quite concerned about cruise ships becoming bigger. They call
it a really
high concentration of risk.
Oh my goodness.
They're going to places like Antarctica where waves are pretty out of control all the time.
Well,
you know, and a couple ships have run into real trouble there already.